God's praises. If you can find a chorus book near you, we're going to sing and praise the Lord tonight. Number 2, a robe of white, a crown of gold, marching on. Number 2 in the chorus book. Don't bend the chorus books back like this because that will break the binding. Okay, just keep them flat. And that way the binding stays good and close them. So number 2 in our chorus book, a robe of white. Number 2, let's stand together if you're physically able to. If you're not, stay seated as we sing this song.
Yes. I don't know if this represents the whole song.
Okay.
There's no words with what I have.
Okay. Marching on in the light of God, marching on, I am marching on, in the path that the saints have trod,
marching, marching on,
a robe of white, a crown of gold, a harp, a horn, a mansion fair, a victor's crown of gold. All right, how many have never sung that one before? Okay. The old William Booth, he used to sing this in the Salvation Army way back in the 1900s when they helped many people get saved back in England there. Let's sing the second verse, number 2 on the second.
Marching on through the hosts of sin, marching on, I am marching.
Okay, yes, a victor's crown, we can possibly earn that if we, for what? What are we doing here on earth? What are we doing? What does it mean, marching on? Yes, Briella?
Like, praising God.
Good, praising God, good. What else? How do we march for God? Yes.
Telling others about Jesus.
Very good, telling others about Jesus, good. What else? Yes, Sahara?
We pray for other people.
Good. Pray for our enemies. Pray for our friends. Pray for our loved ones to be saved. Pray for people to get better. Yes, Tricia?
Do not be weary in well-doing.
Good. Amen. So we are marching in God's army, and we're marching closer and closer every day. You know, we're one day or 1 week closer to heaven than we were last week. Do you realize that? 1 week closer to heaven. So that means, how should we then live? If we're that much closer to heaven, how should we live? How should we march? Yeah, Karen? Very good. Like Jesus could come in any minute. More holy this week than last week. So we progressively get closer to Christ, the progressive sanctification of the Christian. Let's sing that third verse on number 2 in the chorus book.
Marching on to
together in prayer this evening. Brother Hodge, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear God, we give thanks to you this evening, Lord. We thank you for the beautiful day that you have made, the beautiful sunlight. And Lord, we thank you tonight that we can be in church where we can read your words and study it and learn from your words and apply it to our hearts.
Amen.
Bless each one who's here tonight, and then Lord, we pray for those who might yet be coming. Bring them safely, that we can enjoy this time of fellowship around your word. And we give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to direct your attention to our bulletin. As you notice, we have a lot of prizes up here. Who won these awards? All right. Yeah. The parents won some and the kids. All right. So, kids, what I'm going to have you do is if you won some awards, come on up. Tell us a few of the ones you won. Come on up. Because everyone was praying for you the last few weeks, the last month. And so we want you to show us what you won. Okay, we'll start, while they're coming up, we'll start with the big trophy. This is, it says, Master Club Regionals Small Ensemble. This is seven of them singing. They sang Victory in Jesus, and they won third place singing Victory in Jesus. Let's give them a round of applause. Where's Blessing? There, come on up. Come on. Where's Messiah? Is he here? Messiah, come on up.
Yeah, come on, Messiah.
Okay, good. Brielle, where's Brielle? Is she up here? Come on, come on. Doesn't matter. If you were part of the group, okay, come on up. All right, good, excellent. Okay, tell us some of the, hold up some of the ones you won, okay?
Mine that one.
Okay. All right, Lydia, what do you have there?
Master Club Regional Silver Crown Quizzing.
Third place in Bible quizzing. Good job, Lydia. What else do you have there? Okay. Who else has an award? Hold up. Sahara, what'd you win? You don't have it with you, but what'd you win? Okay, stand still. There you
okay.
go.
So, I won a third place thing for cup stacking.
Cup stacking?
Ten Commandments. And so did Amora. And I won the third place thing for ensemble.
For ensemble, good.
I didn't even know what it was. So
okay. And then also, you won one of the other gym games, too. Didn't you get more than one?
Really?
No. No, just one? Okay.
I only got two things.
Azaria, what did you win?
I got first place with a right or wrong.
All right.
I got the same thing.
Okay, show the first place right or wrong relay. You should have Mrs. Gibson come up and present it to her, because she helped train you for that one. Let's give Mrs. Gibson a big round of applause. So you got. She didn't get a ribbon, but she was the one who helped you guys do it.
Oh,
that
was nice.
Thank you, though, but no.
All right, who else? Anything else you want here? Okay, what is this, Holly?
Second place for Bible
storytelling. Good. All right, what else did you win? Azari, what did you win?
I got I got something for our trio. We got second place.
Second place for the trio.
And,
excellent.
Fourth place for the before and after relay.
Not funny. Here's for the trio.
And fourth place for the before and after.
All right. Good job. All right. Excellent. All right. Let's give them a big round of applause. Their good work. Now we need to figure out a place. We'll have to have the deacons figure out a place to put the trophy. Okay, so give it to Mr. Hodge, and he'll have to arrange a trophy spot. Yes.
What's it called? There's no water out there.
Okay.
We're
out of water. Okay. All right. So we'll have to.
I can't leave.
For now, if you need water, you can use the kitchen sink or.
Okay.
Yes.
I need water.
All right, so you can use one of the two. All right, just by way of other announcements, does anyone need a bulletin? Raise your hand. Jesus said, I am the door, John 10:9, and he is the door to heaven. He's the door to everything. He's the door to heaven. He's the door to the blessed life as a Christian. So let's go to Jesus all the time. Just by way of other announcements, pray for our intern. Pray for God to provide the right intern, the right young man. Possibly a married couple is looking into this as well. So we might get two for the price of one, but for a shorter term. So pray about that as well. So whoever God wants us to have. Then pray for the other prayer requests on here. And pray for Good News Club. That's starting tomorrow here at Northville Community School. We'll be there at 3 o'clock, so meet here at 2:30 for all those wanting to follow us from here. Or if you want to meet us over there, meet us there at 2:45. Okay? All right. And we do need another person. I know Pat's helping tomorrow. Do we have anyone else signed up to help with the Good News Club? It's going to be me and Pat so far. We need at least one other person to help us, another adult. Okay? So, all right. We'll pray about it tonight. All right, and this time, we also have a pizza coming tonight. Is that correct, Catherine? Pizza coming tonight at the end. So that's if anyone wants a slice.
Thank you.
And yes, let's thank her and thank them for their generosity tonight. So we'll end at 8:15, and we'll meet over there at 8:15. We do have a couple birthdays, too. I know Joelle has a birthday Friday. Anyone else has a birthday this week? Okay, so we'll meet in there at 8:15 to start on the pizza and pray. All right, at this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings this evening. And we do have badges for each of the ones that went to regionals. So who do I give them to? Who's in charge of badges? Dominique, is that you? Okay. Let us bow together in prayer as we give to God.
Lord, thank you for stamps of money, your father seed, the Lord Jesus, my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Do we have any blessings to share and prayer requests? Who'll be first? How did Meadowview? Meadowview went well. We had a good full room there, and it was a blessing. And then how did Atlantic go? Pastor Logan or Carol, how did Atlantic go?
Atlantic went well, as usual. Our same crowd was there today. Pastor Logan gave an excellent message. In fact, we encouraged him to continue it next week. It's always a joy to praise and worship with that group of our extended church.
Amen. All right. How's the ministry to new moms or young moms going? Or moms? Mrs. Rice, how's the ministry going? Anyone else? Blessing to share. Blessing to share. Karen.
That week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I went to a diabetes type 2 boot camp through my doctor's foundation.
Amen.
It turned out that I was able to get a scholarship thanks to Susie Evans. My doctor was on Harris Hurley's radio show, and afterwards she spoke to the doctor and said, I have this friend, so, you know. And I contacted him. Of course, she didn't know he was my doctor, and he didn't know she was talking about me. But he was really glad I was able to make it. And so we had the lectures all on the medical side of it. We had nutrition, and we had physical activity, 2 hours for each day, 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the afternoon. So the first thing I did was the water aerobics, and we had some resistance sponges so that, you know, it wouldn't be quite so easy and you would actually get a workout. I was concerned about my feet, of course, because you can't wear the boots in the pool. But when they kind of used their feet and jumped in or whatever, I just kind of stood still and did the rest of it. And then there was a lot of sort of stretching and not really like aerobics, but I did the best I could. We held on to a chair, facing a chair, and you have to put your feet as far out as you can. Of course, I can't do it on my toes, so I just made my boots flat and then raised each knee, you know, 10 times and, you know, stuff like that. So I did what I could with my boots. And one of the other ladies that was doing it, she's fit, she's one of the workers, she said, and to think that you're keeping up and you're doing it and you had extra weight on your feet. And then the very last day, we got to do boxing. And they just, you know, showed us to put the gloves on and kind of go up and down and down this way and how to stand, which I couldn't do because it's bouncy and all. But then we got to punch the bag. So
don't mess with Miss Karen tonight.
That was a lot of fun. So it was, you know, a lot of things I had forgotten and a lot of things have changed since I've been diagnosed. And just a lot of encouragement, a lot of people that maybe not have not been a diabetic as long as me might be able to tolerate the medications where I have to have insulin. But then also the local people, they created a group on Facebook for all of us to kind of post. So today was my first walk on the bike path. Which
wonderful.
Was so I walked down Dawson, met up and turned and walked back.
Wonderful. Amen. All right, let's keep praying for Karen and her forward progress. Amen. Don't let any of our diseases beat us. We can beat them with the Lord's help, and He will help us through. So let's pray for Karen and that challenge there. And does any of our adults need a prayer list? Mr. Hodge has a list for the adults who need one. Just raise your hand, and he'll come around and get one too. Any adults that need a prayer list? Has our physical needs, those that we are praying for salvation. So if you'd like to add any to the list of salvation, we'd like to pray specifically for our family members, friends, if you want us to add anybody to the salvation list. Then on the back it has special needs. Anything that doesn't quite fit into physical needs would be special needs. Then our church ministries, and then our missionaries, and our outreach groups such as Good News Club, Nursing Home Ministries, and then our mission field, praying for our country, praying for things around the world. So that's the prayer list. So does anyone have anything to add to physical needs or salvation tonight? Or a blessing to share? We want to hear blessings too. Let's see, somebody had their hand up for a blessing. Who was it? Thankful for something? Okay, yes, Azaria? Good, good job. Excellent. Anyone else? Layla?
I'm thankful that my friend Mia, she got adopted last year, and today was her birthday, and I want to wish her a happy birthday.
Yes, we know Mia from the Good News Club, yes. And she got saved there. Amen. Anyone else? Prayer requests now. We'll take prayer requests. Yes, Evan?
On the 15th, Ethan has his preaching. Please pray that he would do well.
Okay. Yes, April 15th, Ethan is preaching at Ambassador. It's right on the website in the bulletin here on the insert page. It has ambassadors.com. If you want to tune in, you can see it live at 10 a.m., the chapel message, and ambassadors.edu, not .com, ambassadors.edu. All right, anyone else? Yes, Tricia.
He's dealing with a sinus infection right now, but thank the Lord he did get to the doctor early on.
Good. All right. Anyone else? Felony, how's your health?
The Lord has me.
Amen.
It's getting better. I have some issues with my lungs. I don't know. One day at a time. My kidney function is doing okay. I just got blood work back this morning, so protein's coming back, so
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
The Lord has me.
That's right. That's good. All right, let's keep praying for Felony. Anyone else? All right, this time we'll dismiss then to youth group, teen youth group with Mr. and Mrs. Hodge, master clubs. And then the younger master clubs is with Mrs. Slepidus. Those in the 5 through second grade are with Mrs. Slepidus in there as well. And the rest of us, let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 11 tonight. Mark chapter 11, as we continue our study through the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is an incredible book. It's the Gospel to the Gentiles. So if you are not a Jew, guess what? Mark was written for us, along with Luke as well. John was written, of course, to the whole world, but Mark wants to show Jesus as the son, the servant of all. Let's go to Mark 11. We're going to skip the triumphal entry into Jerusalem because that's coming up in a week or two. So we'll do that later. We're going to skip to verse 12. Skip the triumphal entry. We'll go to Mark 11 and verse 12, and let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to look into your word. We pray you'd speak to our hearts, that whatever needs we have, spiritual, physically, mentally, emotionally, Lord, that you would just meet them tonight, Lord, as we gather around your word, that you would calm our hearts, give us insight, and fill me with thy spirit, fill each one of us with your spirit, that we may desire to be spirit-filled Christians and apply these truths to our hearts tonight, that we may grow in you. And I pray that you would speak to each one, help the young people as well, that they would grow tonight and apply some truths of the Scriptures to their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 11, verse 12, it says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry." Okay, sometimes we don't think of Jesus needing food or needing things. You know, Jesus, he made the water into wine. He made the bread. He multiplied the loaves. You know, so Jesus wouldn't have had a need to be hungry, would he? Well, yes, he was. He was confined to a human body. So therefore, he had the same desires and wishes that we have. You know, when we get real hungry, especially, you know, I was going over to Meadowview Nursing Home, and as I was driving along, I smelled a really good smell. I said, that smells delicious, you know. And so that's our smells, smelling good food. Well, here Jesus was hungry. He was going from Bethany to Jerusalem to the temple. He had a mission on his mind. He was not going to be hindered from going to his father's house and teaching the people, and driving out the money changers, and all the things, and teaching the people every day. He taught in the temple the week before Holy Week. He taught in the temple every day. And so Jesus had a mission in mind, but you know how it is as we go about our daily lives, and we don't maybe eat breakfast, what happens? What does our stomach do? Our stomach growls, right, and says, "Oh, you need to eat something." So Jesus is on his mission, and he comes to a fig tree. He was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. It wasn't the time for that fig tree to bear fruit. Or some commentators say that fig tree was not, was just not bearing fruit that year. whatever the case is, it was not time for that fig tree to bear fruit yet. And so, but the fig tree is known in Judges chapter 11, the blessing of being a fig tree is, it's known for its sweetness. That it's interesting, the trees were asked what was special about the olive tree. The trees were asked. Well, the olive tree gives forth what? Olives, and which brings forth what? What do we use olives for? Olive oil, good. Okay, brings forth the fatness of olive oil. And so that the olive tree didn't want to be the king of the trees. This was in Judges. And so then the fig tree, well, fig tree, will you rule over us? And the fig tree said, no, I don't want to forgo my sweetness. The fig tree gives sweetness and to people, to serve people. Didn't want to give over his sweetness. This was in Judges, I can't remember the exact chapter, but talking about the, I believe, the one of the judges. And then the last tree was the the fruit of the vine. The vine did not want to give up its position to make men have grape juice, to make men happy. And so here we see that the fig tree should have had fruit. It didn't have fruit. And Jesus answered and said to it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So Jesus cursed the fig tree right there. Thank you. Judges 9 instead of Judges 11. Okay, so that's that little story about the trees in Judges 9, verse 10. And so Jesus then cursed the fig tree. Now, the fig tree is actually a picture of Israel. What was happening that very week, and of course, all through Jesus' three-year public ministry, what were the Jews, the religious leaders of the Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees, what were they doing to Jesus? Scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees, and the high priest. Were they accepting him? Were they coming like Nicodemus every day? Oh, Master, Rabbi, how do we inherit eternal life? Rabbi, please tell us how to get to heaven. Rabbi, we love you. No, Nicodemus was the exception to the rule. All the other ones all only wanted to trick him and stop him up. Nicodemus, he got saved, but he kind of stayed secret Pharisee. But so we see, by and large, they rejected Jesus. And so here, the Jews are a picture of the fig tree. And he said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Verse 15, and they come to Jerusalem. Okay, and we already, we'll look at this in the future. The money changers, I believe we already looked at this. let's look at it now. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. So it's interesting what's happening here. What were they making the temple into? The Pharisees, or the money changers, and these businessmen, merchantmen. What were they making the temple into? Good. They weren't coming to worship God. They were coming to make money. Okay. They wanted to make their profits. And they, of course, it's like when you're in Disney World or a Great Adventure. What do they do to you in those two places? They keep things really cheap, right? They know you've come from a distance and you can't really go outside the park easy. You know, you got to pay. You already paid the parking fee. It's a long walk out. So they make food really cheap, right? In those places, Disney, Great Adventure, any other amusement park? No, what do they end up doing? Overcharging everything. Why? Because they know they kind of have you stuck. You're going to have to walk really far back to your car. When we were growing up, if we went to amusement parks, my mom would always pack a cooler and, pack sandwiches and everything. And that saved a lot of money. But it was inconvenient. We had to walk all the way out to our car. all the, you know, and then eat your dinner, then you could walk all the way back in. But it saved a whole lot of money, and we just didn't have the money. And so just to go there was special. Okay, but they're not counting on that. They're counting on the average person who's not going to do that. Well, that's exactly what was going on here. They said, okay, all these Jews had to come from all over, some from Israel, some from all parts of Israel, Judah, some from Samaria, some from other places. All these Jews were coming from all over for Passover week. And they said, ah, ha, ha, even the poor families have to buy a couple doves. The richer families, they've got to buy some, you know, an animal, you know, so let's charge them. And so they would upcharge them for the convenience of buying it in the temple and buying it there. And by that point, people were exasperated. They're like, oh, fine, I'll just buy it. And so these guys were making money. These merchants were making money off of God's house and God's commands. And so Jesus rightly comes in there and casts them out, and he overturns their tables, and he makes a scourge. He cleansed the temple at the beginning of his ministry, right after in John chapter 1, John chapter 2, he cleanses the temple after he turns the water into wine and the marriage feast there. Right after that, he cleanses the temple the first time, and now here's the second time he cleanses the temple. And it's interesting. And the seats of them that sold doves and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. What they were also doing was saying, okay, I've got to carry this big jug from point A to point B, and the closest route was carrying it through the temple, you know, right through the outer court. You know, they wouldn't be allowed to go into the holy place or the holy of holies, because that's only where the priest and the high priest could go. But they would carry stuff right through the outer court and the inner court, and it was as if it was just any other business, any other place of buying and selling, and any other, you know, unholy ground. And so Jesus, he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. In other words, you can't just use God's house. It's just a convenience, you know. He made it into what it is. Verse 17, and he taught, saying unto them, it is not written, my house shall be called of all nations. Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations? The house of what? Of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. Here, notice here, Jesus and Mark is especially emphasizing this. Matthew emphasized Jesus as the King of the Jews and showing the Jews, you know, that they are God's people and Jesus is their King. Well, here Mark is showing how Jesus said this in the Old Testament in the book of, who has a cross reference there on Mark 11:17. Okay, we'll teach you how to use your cross reference Bible tonight. Does anyone have little verses in the margin of your Bible? Okay. You're using the Defined King James, they don't have cross references. But if you're using another Bible, you probably do. Okay? Evan, do you have cross references there? Okay. All right. Yes, that's what it says. Does anyone else have a cross reference Bible with little verses in the middle column? No? Okay. All right, that's all right if you don't have it. But anyway, if you have it, there's going to be a letter. There's going to be a letter above all nations, somewhere around House of Prayer. There's going to be a letter there, and it's going to allude to a verse in the middle margin in the book of Psalms, where Jesus is quoting, or one of the Old Testament passages where he's quoting that all his house shall be called of all nations the House of Prayer. So here, Gentiles were encouraged to come in. It's not just his house. In other words, he's alluding to, yeah, right now the temple was for the Jews and Gentiles could come into the outer court. But he was alluding to as well that, hey, I want all nations to come to my house. And of course, Jesus changed his house from the temple when he died to what? What did he change it to when Jesus died on the cross? Where are we to come to meet in the New Testament era? In the church, okay, in his church. And so, and his church is. And so we see here that that Jesus' house, transitioning from the temple to the church age, that his churches as well should be called houses of prayer. And how blessed it is to come into his house tonight to be able to pray to him. It's a privilege to come to God in prayer. That I was reminded last week of the evangelistic meeting. How many enjoyed the evangelistic meetings last week? They were a blessing. As Dr. Gilmore preached to us and Brother Raines did the music, and just how much of a blessing it was. To just be reminded again how important prayer is. That as we walk with God every day, he delights in our prayer life with him. He delights in communing with us in prayer. There's so much power in prayer that if we could see what happens behind the scenes every time we pray, guess what? We'd pray a lot more. We really would. If we could see what the angels are doing and what God is sending them to do and what God is moving on hearts of people to do every time we pray, you know what? We'd pray a lot more because we'd say, ooh, I don't want to go another day. I don't want to go an hour without praying to God because he's definitely working on people. He's definitely moving and healing people, healing people's bodies. He's definitely moving on doctors to make the right decisions for things, for the people we're praying for. And so if we could only see it, we would be convinced. But God doesn't let us always see it, but he lets us see our answers to prayer. That every time you get an answer to prayer, it should be a reminder to pray more because it works. There is so much power in prayer that one prayer of a righteous man or woman that's trying to live for God and has their sins confessed, one prayer availeth much, God says. It accomplishes so much. And so we need to come back to this belief that prayer is so important. Jesus says it's important. He could have made any other title. He could have said, "Don't you know my house?" He could have changed the money tables and, you know, thrown them out. Oh boy, I hope this doesn't look like money changers up here. We're not selling any of these. But anyway, he would have turned the tables over and he could have said, "My house shall be called the house of, you know, whatever." But he chose back in the Old Testament and before time to put in there, "His house shall be called the house of prayer." So if Jesus thinks it's that important, if God thinks it's that important, how much more should we be gathering together in prayer in God's house and in our own homes and in our cars and wherever we go? Verse 18, "And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine." Here they wanted to, at that moment, they wanted to kill him. You know, they would have tried to kill him the week before, you know, the week before on Hosanna week, or the week of the triumphal entry, but they couldn't because all the people were listening to him and astonished at his doctrine. Verse 19, "And when the even was come, he went out of the city." It's probably dark as they passed the fig tree. They couldn't see it. Verse 20, "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." And it was just the morning before that Jesus had talked to it. Verse 21, "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." Jesus, wait, yesterday we came by this fig tree, and fig trees are a decent size, you know, especially one that has a lot of leaves. How many have ever seen a fig tree out in the yard? Our friends have real nice ones in their backyard. I mean, just huge. They're about this wide, you know, that wide all the way around, and in bloom, they give a lot of figs. And so the next day they come, and that same fig tree is probably real big, has a lot of stems and stalks, all of a sudden shriveled up, and the roots dried up. And Peter, calling to remembrance, Peter says, "Whoa, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest, it's withered away." Jesus, I can't believe you said it yesterday, and today, it's sure enough, it's dead. It's deader than dead. It is dried up from the roots. That's not physically possible. You know, Peter is amazed and astonished at Jesus. Even though he's seen miracles, he's seen many miracles. And Jesus answering saith unto him, unto them, what? Have faith in God. If Jesus could speak those little words to the fig tree, and it could happen that quick, Jesus is saying, wait, Peter, those little words that you pray are just as important. Those little words that you pray, and sometimes you think, oh, I'll say them anyway because I have to. No, Jesus is saying those little words that you pray are very important. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Here Jesus is saying, when you pray, don't think, oh, this isn't going to happen. No, we need to pray believing. Okay, so number one, have faith in God. Have faith in God that He is in charge, He will take care of us, and that He will guide and ordain things to work for our good. And then number two, be reminded prayer works. So his little exchange with Peter. Be reminded, Peter, and all you disciples, be reminded prayer. Somebody got my black marker, Pastor Logan, so that's why I'm not using it. Be reminded, prayer works. Number three, Jesus said that if we ask, anything we ask, if we ask for godly things, they will be done. If we ask believing, of course, if we ask believing for godly things, you say, well, Pastor, that can't be true because I've asked for many good things and many godly things that I believe God wants me to have, and they didn't happen. Well, let's look at the next caveat. Okay, there's a caveat here. Verse 25, and when ye stand praying... Okay, so we can kneel. You know, kneeling is a good position. It's a biblical position. But we can also stand praying. We can pray standing. Well, when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Okay, so the caveat to answered prayer is what is in the New Testament, which is in number one, confess our sins first. Confess our sins so God can hear us. Remember, it says to husbands especially, if a husband... doesn't dwell with his wife according to knowledge and is in sin and is not right with her, then it says that his prayers be not hindered. So if he's harboring enmity against his wife, or if they're in strife and he's just not wanting to settle and reconcile, well then God says that hinders prayer. So any sin between us and our fellow men will hinder our prayers. So that's why we need to confess our sins to God. And then the word here, I want to get the right word, forgive. Forgive others their trespasses. Okay, so this is very important. Prayer is very vital. Prayer accomplishes so much. Prayer is so important to our very being as Christians because it's how we communicate with God and He delights to hear us. But sin will keep us from getting our prayers answered as we need to. You know, God will still do things, but He doesn't have to. And then forgiving others is so important. So confess our sins and then forgive others so that God can hear our prayers. So it's so important. Jesus is reminding us the vitality of prayer and how important it is. And we can accomplish much more if we pray about it first. You know, a lot of us, some of us may be more of the think about it, plan it, and then do it. Some of us may be more on the other side of that equation. Do it, try to do it as you're thinking about it. You know, well, we can accomplish much more even than thinking, planning, doing, or just rashly doing it. We can accomplish much more by praying about what we're going to do, then figuring out our plan and doing it. So let us come and accomplish more with God by praying about all that we need. There's so many stories that we could share of how God answers prayer in great and mighty ways. And here, I'll read an illustration of this. This is from through the Baptist Missionary Society. Though the Baptist Missionary Society was in its early years, great strides were being made for Christ in India. As William Carey, the father of modern missions, led the way on the field, godly pastors such as John Ryland were upholding the cause of worldwide evangelism back in England. An incident concerning Carey's son Jabez is worthy of mention. After the conversion of two of his sons, missionary William Carey became very anxious about the soul of Jabez, who had just begun practicing law, and he wrote his support team requesting prayer for his son. On the Society's 20th anniversary, Dr. Ryland addressed 2,000 of the mission's friends in London. On the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. As he preached, he spoke of Carey's joy in his sons Felix and William in their work for the Lord. But he has a third son, said Ryland, giving him pain, because though dutiful, he is unconverted. At this point, Dr. Ryland began to cry, and he urged the audience to join in a fervent prayer for the conversion of Jabez Carey. Nearly 2,000 joined before the throne of God's grace, and God wonderfully answered. In the very next mail from India, William Carey received a letter that told of the conversion of Jabez. His regeneration had been synchronous with the United Prayer Meeting. Jabez had been articled to an attorney, but in a short time, he became interested in missionary service. In the providence of God, an invitation was received by William Carey on January 7, 1814, to send a missionary to Amboina, where 20,000 national believers had no missionary to minister to them. Jabez immediately offered himself, and though he was not yet 20 years of age, he crowded his marriage, ordination, and farewell into a short time and then left for his new assignment. At Jabez's ordination, where his father and two brothers laid hands upon him, Dr. Carey lifted his voice in praise to God and said, "I trust this will be a matter of everlasting praise. Oh, praise the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. To me the Lord has been very, very gracious. I trust that all my children love the Lord, and three out of the four are actually engaged in the important work of publishing His gospel among the heathen, two of them in new countries. We cannot all go to the foreign mission field, but oh, may we learn the vital part that prayer plays in the missionary enterprise." In those early days, in the ministry of William Carey, some Baptist pastors in the Northamptonshire Association of England called upon the churches to appoint a day each month for prayer. Paul assured the Corinthians that they were helping together by prayer. May we pray forth our own children to the harvest fields of the world. And we could recount story after story after story of prayers being answered like that, of God just moving on hearts to tug them to Christ, You know, if we will just pray, that's why we have this spot on the prayer list for unsaved people. And sure enough, over the years, when I was a boy, and when my dad was the pastor, sure enough, time after time, he'd come up and say, "Hey, praise the Lord, we can cross so-and-so off the list." Every once in a while, we'd have to cross them off the list because they died. But most of the time, we were able to cross off names off of this salvation part of the prayer list because they had trusted Christ, because some Christian had witnessed to them. So it's so important that we pray for our loved ones who aren't saved yet, because they need us to. If we're not going to pray, who are their own family, and if we're not going to believe God that He can do it, then who will? Then who will? They need us. Our family members need us. I have cousins that are unsaved. I have Carrie has on her side of the family ones that are unsaved, and so we have to not give up or not say, "Oh, they're never going to listen. Oh, they're never." No, we can't give up. We can't not have faith. Jesus said, "Have faith," and that we can say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed, and be cast into the sea." So, if anyone would like to add a name to the prayer list, let me know. We can pray for them as well. So, if you have a name, just let me know, or you can write it down and put on a piece of paper and give it to me. There's a little box at the back of the church there that has, it's a prayer list box. So if you put a name in there, just let me know, and I check that periodically. We'll add that to the prayer list. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this night to come together to be reminded of the great importance of prayer. We thank You, Lord God, that You have ordained Your house to be a house of prayer. Lord, may we be always reminded to utter prayers from our lips in sincerity and in truth, in worship to You from this place and from our homes, from our cars, from our job, from our places of rest, from anywhere we are, Lord, that we would pray to You all through the day, that You can do great and mighty things on our behalf. Because we know how important, we see how important prayer is. That if Jesus could change one fig tree and curse it, and in one day for it to be totally dried up, that we know You can do anything, and that You can change the hearts of our loved ones, Lord, to come to You, to long after You for salvation, just as Jabez Carey was saved, Lord, as a result of people fervently praying. Lord, we pray that we would fervently pray, that we would not doubt or waver, but that we would have faith that You can and will do what we ask You to do. Lord, that if it is a godly request, that You will answer our prayers. And show us and give us indications that we are praying according to Your will as You lead us through life, Lord. We thank You for these, and we pray You'd bless our church, help us to grow, help us to go forward for You in seeking to spread Your gospel to South Jersey, to Atlantic County, New Jersey, Lord. We thank You for all these things. Bless our prayer time now, in Jesus' name, amen. We'll have the ladies pray over on this side. Actually, we'll have the ladies come over here so Brother Roy doesn't have to move, and men pray over on that side there. No, we're going to have him stay there.